We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
NBA Most Valuable Player, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Giannis trailing the lob. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
2 seconds. Middleton. Yes! Chris Middleton.
Hey there, welcome to the Eurostep, a Milwaukee Bucks podcast, proudly a part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. And today, excited to debut our new Sunday segment. I'm here as always with the, prodigious? Is that how that's pronounced?
Hesitation tie.
Prodigious? Yeah. I don't know if that's how you pronounce that or not. Rohan Kadi. Rohan, so. How's it going?
I'm a little disappointed. That's the first hesitation we've ever had.
Listen, halfway through the first cup of coffee on the evil daylight savings time Sunday, I'm sorry, it's not my best work. But Rohan, tell the people about the new segment we're doing on Sundays, please. I can't handle this, apparently.
Okay, so we are doing Buck Stock Radio. And what we're going to be doing here is we're going to be doing this as we do every Sunday live on Locker Room, as we are right now, and we are going to allow like the listeners to come up, get on the stage, be a speaker, and just give us your thoughts. Give us anything you want. Go on rants, do whatever, complain about the Bucks. Just, we're giving the fans a platform to, you know, get their thoughts out about the Milwaukee Bucks, as well as doing our normal trading on the Bucks stock market. So we're combining that into Bucks Stock Radio, which is a great name. I will give you full credit for that, Ty. That was entirely you.
I finally came up with a good name. It's been 10 years, but I did it. I think the last one was when I made my name Ty in fourth grade. That's a story for another time. So basically, we're gonna kind of run through the stocks here, and instead of making it a whole show, and then we're gonna transition to the talk radio part. And please, if you come up on stage, bonus points if you say first time, long time. It's like such a New York talk radio thing. I love it. I'm a big fan. But so, I guess we should start here with a quick recap. Rohan, your portfolio 129, me at 149. The big difference is I have a bunch of Giannis stock, which just keeps soaring. We're going to talk a lot about Giannis today, and you're still holding on to that Bud stock, which really is like the only difference in our portfolios. Were it not for that Bud stock, you'd be right there. And in terms of buying power, you get the normal 20 this week. I get 25, as much as this hurts me to say, and I think this is what I imagine our other big topic may be. You called White Dante for a short. He had a good week. I called Chris Middleton for a short. He did not have a good week. He started off at 17 and is now at 16. So I get an extra 5 in buying power this week. And I already teased, I think I have the perfect set of moves prepared. But would you like me to go first and try to back up my smack talk? Or do you want to go first here?
I'll let you go first here.
All right. So I'm going to start out with a sale. I am going to sell something. I'm going to move 2 shares of DJ Augustine. That might be the sneaky biggest news of the week. DJ Augustine, after being zero or negatives for several weeks, positive value, Rohan. DJ Augustine worth 1 per. I'm selling 2 shares for 2 to bring my buying power to 27. But as I do that, I want to hear your thoughts on DJ Augustine this week.
Yeah, so like you just mentioned, DJ Augustine actually in the positive. I feel like it's been sort of a quiet week in terms of the discourse around DJ Augustine, and that might be because he's not doing anything egregiously bad.
Right. And
not to say that he's been he's been terrible or anything for the previous part of the season before the All-Star break, but just you had these deficiencies that you would notice. Whether that be when he was coming off the bench, when he was starting in place of Jrue Holiday, there were always these little things, these weaknesses that we could point out. Now he's just sort of playing within his means. He's doing what we envision DJ Augustine could do. He's being a good ball handler. He's not trying to do too much. He's not trying to dunk on people when he's like 5'2". It's just, it's what we expected from a backup point guard.
I think the biggest thing for me is his trigger looks a little quicker on threes. Like he's, yes. I don't know if he's like just got inspired by watching his teammate Bryn Forbes or what, but I feel like he's letting him go. And I really like to see that. Okay. So I'm up to 27. I'm making 2 buys, 1 stock each, and I'm done. 1, I'm going deeper on Giannis. How could I not? This is surging. I want to talk about MVP candidacy for Giannis at some point and hear what people think about that. At this point in the season, I feel like this is such a weird year for MVP, but I got to keep buying in. I mean, I think like 78 out of my 100-something, 149 is Giannis right now. I'm just going to increase the percentage. I'm going to be like 100% Giannis by the end of the season, but it's hard to make a case that it's not a great decision. And Maxwell in the chat nailed my second one. I have 1 remaining. Yeah. I am going in on Mamadi Diakite stock. I'm getting in at the IPO of 1. People are like the IPO, and I think I see Jeezy in the chat too. Jeezy's at the IPO, should be 25. We're not doing that. It's 1, and I will take 1 for 1. I got to figure out what the 4 letters are going to be. But Rohan, did you see this coming?
I will say I wanted to see this happen. Did I actually think it would? No, just based on the Bucks' history of these sort of players, these intriguing prospects that are sort of, they need an opportunity to really grow, and then they don't get it, and then they move on to other teams and flourish, right? So,
yep.
I was thinking, you know, I didn't want it to happen with Diakite, but I was assuming the same thing would happen, but it didn't.
Yep.
I mean,
it might. We'll see. Yeah.
He's played for like 7 minutes.
But it was a glorious 7 minutes.
It was an amazing 7 minutes. We had the entire team rooting for him to get his first NBA bucket, which he did. Like, the Nassus could barely control himself when he was like setting himself up for a potential offensive rebound off of this. He was ecstatic. The entire team was ecstatic. This is what he got called up to do.
It is. It is. So that's my moves, Rohan. No, Jeezy said, oh, my bad. Jeezy said 15, not 25. My bad for the ridiculous number, OG. He should have played last night. Game was too close. Game was too damn close. They couldn't close out the Beal-less Wizards, but they'll have another chance tomorrow at least.
Or he should have played anyway.
Do your stocks. Do your stocks before we get into it. I feel like there's so many different directions we can go in this rotation. I can't wait to see what some of the folks think. But Maxwell said it was only close because Diakite didn't play. You know what? Fair.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. You know what? I think you got a point.
Okay, so I am going to make a sale, first of all.
All right. Yeah, 20 before the sale.
Yes. I'm going to sell my 1 share of Dante.
Oh, so we're both divesting from Dante.
Yes.
Okay, so up to 30 to spend. Why are you selling Dante? Is it just – is the Carson Wentz analogy I made just hitting too close to home or
– It really is. It really is. It's just – it's so volatile. So God, volatile. Crazy. We talk about this every week because I feel like every single week we talk about this, he has some sort of change.
He has the most different colors on his stock portfolio, like red, green. Like everybody else, it's like – You know, I think most players, I think, move in larger trends, right? Like a bad week, a good couple weeks, a quiet couple weeks. Dante is like aggressively up and down. Like he'll shoot up 5 and then drop 2 within like literally 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I feel like I got to get out while I can in terms of
it's,
his
it's
value.
GameStop. It's GameStop. You just don't know where it's going.
Yes. So he actually went up this week. He went from 9 to 10. I picked him as my short of the week, which did not pay off. So I'm just going to I'm gonna take the 10 here and raise my buying power up to 30.
There you go. All right. Who are you buying on? 10 Diakites?
I thought about buying 26 Diakites.
I love it.
I still might. Who knows?
Okay.
But no, I'm not going to. I have 30 in buying power. I'm gonna be boring. I'm gonna do the same thing you did. I'm gonna buy one share of Giannis. Right.
How can you not? I mean, it's just like, I think his decision making is what I'm the most excited about currently with Giannis.
It really is. Just the way he commands a game nowadays is just at another level than we've ever seen Giannis before. We talk relentlessly about how Giannis gets better every single year. He has gotten better every single year of his career. And while like his normal counting numbers wouldn't really say like, oh, he's gotten exponentially better this year compared to last year, he has gotten better because he controls a game now. He can dictate the course of a game rather than playing within a game, which he's like, not to say that he's just like, you know, playing within his role or anything the past couple seasons, but now it's his game. He decides whether things are going to go really well for the Bucks or they're going to go really badly for the Bucks. Like take last night's game, for instance. No one else was really getting anything going, right?
No.
Chris was struggling. Drew was struggling. Just those are the two guys you really need to step up if, you know, the team wants to, you know, be an insanely good team, a title contender, contend, like, you know, win a championship. So they're struggling. They're struggling against the Wizards without Bradley Beal. So what does Giannis do? Giannis is like, what are we doing here? We're gonna win this game. And that's what he did. He went out there and won the game for Milwaukee. And that's the type of dominance that we haven't seen before.
I think my favorite thing is like there was some criticism. I saw criticism circulate, and mostly what's nice about my timeline is I know I follow enough good Bucks people because I rarely see, like, I'll know if like the quote unquote like NBA Twitter is like digging out or taking shots at Chris or Giannis or whatever. Not because I see those tweets, but because I see people dunking on those tweets. I'm like, oh, okay, there must be an anti-Giannis thing. I've seen three of my followers quote tweet someone who I like have muted or don't follow, and they're all just like absolutely just savagely dismissing this person. I love that. Okay. But yeah, so I saw there was like an anti-Giannis thing, and this was before he went on his little scoring run to end the second quarter, I think, but he had 8 assists at that point. And like, he was literally every good shot created by the Bucks in the first half felt like it was either Giannis scoring as he did to end the half. He still ends up with like 12 or 14 points and a half, which like feels like barely any for Giannis because he's so easily able to put up 30 plus. But he also had so many assists at halftime. And that's now two games in a row where, I mean, all the games since the break, I guess, where he has just been like methodically finding those open shooters. And I think like all, dating all the way back to last season and certainly before this season, we talked a lot about like that's one of the ways to break through this wall, right? Like if you don't trust Giannis to become a 40% three-point shooter or whatever, which we really didn't, then find some other guys who are. Because the wall means, or the barrier, excuse me, Rohan, the barrier means that, you know, other guys have to be open. You can't cover everybody on the court and form a barrier between Giannis and the rim. So, like, there was two real ways to beat it. And one was just Giannis becoming a knockdown shooter, and he's still trying, credit to him. But the other one that was a lot more easier was like, oh, here's Bryn Forbes on a minimum. Here's DJ Augustine. Here's Bobby Portis, who's been an incredible shooter. Like, let's get some more knockdown catch and shoot guys who, as soon as their man takes that extra step to deny Giannis, Giannis can find them. So that was half on the Bucks to get more of those players than they had in years past. Like, they had Korver, but you really couldn't trust Korver to play big minutes. And that was half on Giannis to actually make the decisions because we've seen him get tunnel vision so often. And I feel like this season he's been better than ever at knowing exactly where the help is coming from and where that means the ball has to go. And that's a huge adjustment. Like, I don't think he's ever going to be a LeBron-level passer. Like, I think you either are or you aren't, and you just can't add that. That's like that eyes in the back of your head and all over your body type stuff. But I do think him taking a step forward there, as we've seen, is massive toward the Bucks' postseason chances.
Yes, just playmaking being taken to another level by Giannis is just, it's what this team really needed. It's what Giannis really needed, to be honest.
Yeah.
Because
to be honest.
There you go. Like you just mentioned, when the barrier comes, it's just sort of, oh no, what do I do now? Now he knows what to do. Like you just said.
Yeah.
It's that. Because now it's like, okay, what's your counter? If you're an opposing defense, what's your counter to that? You don't have like 10 guys on the court. What are you going to do? Just scramble everyone? And then that just leaves Giannis open again. Like it's really a pick your poison type thing. Do you want Giannis to pick you apart with his passing or with his scoring? And now, like previously, like teams had chosen passing and he hasn't really been able to, you know, beat them that way. Now he can. Now he can. Now the defense just has to be like, okay, how do we want to lose this matchup tonight?
Yeah, and I also think he's become a lot more decisive with his first step when he is in that in-between post area where I think before he would just try to barrel over everybody, and that's where all those easy offensive fouls came from. And now I feel like he's doing much better. Like, if there is a little space, if it's not a pass situation, he's, I feel like, getting around players and getting to the rim
it's
a lot
finesse
more.
Finesse more than
yeah.
brute strength.
Yeah, the other teams only get 8 guys as long as there's only 3 refs in games, so... I had to get that in there. All right, you got 4. Who are you buying before we move on to the stock radio?
So I'm going to make 2 purchases here. First
okay.
one is going to be DJ Augustine. I will take one DJ Augustine.
Okay.
I'm riding the high a little bit. Maybe he can produce. Maybe he'll just fall back into what he was. But I don't know. I feel like he's a solid veteran who has a chance to improve. He's learning how to fit within this team. So might as well. Why not?
I didn't
have any DJ Augustine, so I'll get in on that. Make the spreadsheet even bigger.
Seriously.
And then you know what I have to do with my 3.
No, don't tell me.
What?
What are you doing?
I'm going to buy 3 Diakites.
Okay. I was worried you were going to buy 3 horse. I was like, dude, you have an issue. Okay. That's fine. I think that's a good call.
To be fair, John Horse might have to. You might have to get a down stock soon.
Yeah, we should talk about this extension at some point. But we just. It's quick because we don't have much more to say, right? Like, hopefully, it happens. It hasn't happened yet. That's not great, but there's also been a lot going on. I think that's what we said last time. I don't know. Do you have an update to that?
Not really. I feel like maybe once Drew gets back to his normal form, then they'll like get one taken
yeah.
care of.
Yeah, it's just a complicated situation, I think, for everyone. But I still think it's going to get done one way. He's going to stay one way or another. I'll say that.
Yes, I believe that is the case as well. But John Horse, my guy, get something done here. My portfolio.
Let's make it happen. Let's make it happen here.
And 3 right. Diakites. Got to do it.
I love that.
I'm riding the high.
We'll see, man. We'll see. Hopefully he gets to play more.
I think he might. Let's talk about it quick.
Let's talk about it. I don't know. He looked good.
He did look. He looked a little lost at some points, but also he was
first game.
You know, first game and yeah. playing against not a great lineup and not with a great lineup.
But hey, man, Thanasis was out there. Come on,
that's
now.
True. That's true.
Elite
that's true.
Bucks role
have,
player.
You have to have one good player out there at all times. So we get Thanasis out there. We get Diakite, sort of, he gets an assist right away, sort of gets some rebounds, plays some defense, has a block. Did he get credited with a block?
No, I think didn't it end up a foul or no?
Oh, it did. It did.
It looked clean right. to me, but he picked up a foul on that.
Yes. But it looked good. Like he looked like he was in the right positions. It was fine. He hits a face up jumper, pulls a Bobby Portis on him. It was just beautiful. It was beautiful.
It was kind of a turnaround, wasn't it? Or was it a face-up?
I think it was a face-up.
Okay.
Yeah, just a face-up on the left baseline. So we get... Do we think that he should actually be playing meaningful minutes?
I would like to give him a shot. I think it was kind of similar to Bobby Portis, how the team just looks different in his minutes, just because... I mean, obviously it was utter garbage time, but... Just a big guy who is athletic, you can just see how much it changes what the Bucks can do, right? I mean, this is something that, like, we've been kind of harping on, and now Twitter has done a great job of catching on to it. And, like, people are sending me stuff that I didn't even necessarily realize it on a given night. But, like, all of the great Bucks runs of the past few weeks, maybe almost a month, have been you know, Brooke Lopez is on the bench and they're able to switch everything and just not let any team shoot threes because they're a bunch of long athletes and they take away all the good looks from three and suddenly nobody can score against the Bucks. And again, like we've talked about kind of the duality of Bobby Portis. He's not a great defender individually, but he's athletic and still tall and long, although people think he's not a center. I don't want to get into that right now. It doesn't matter. But he can get out to the perimeter and take away threes. And I think Diakite is like, it's the same thing as Bobby Portis, right? Like, he's able to do all that stuff too. I mean, he's not 30-whatever with a ton of NBA miles and you know, it's huge, you know. Like, Brook Lopez is dense, right? Like, Diakite and Bobby Portis, a little springier. So I think in that sense, there's actually a lot of upside, even if he kind of doesn't know everything yet because he's a rookie, as you mentioned, because Bobby Portis doesn't know everything about defense yet either, and yet it still works because I think the Bucks have shown so far this season when they simplify things and just go almost on like instinct with some of this switching, to me, they look better than when they run, you know, the stalwart drop in almost every circumstance. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying start him, but I would like to see him play minutes with like Giannis and one of Chris or Drew and just see what happens because I think it could actually work.
Yeah, especially because they have kind of a softish schedule right now. Like They have the Wizards again. They have Philly without Embiid. They have the Spurs, Pacers, Celtics, Knicks, and then you get to the Clippers and Lakers. And so that's not until like the end of March. So you have like a solid game stretch here where you're not playing like super, super great teams. So why not? Why not give it a shot? This is the perfect point in the season to do so because you're not really ramping towards the postseason or anything yet. So why not?
Yeah, I agree. Should we do our shorts?
Sure. Yes.
Do you have one ready?
You go first.
Oh man, I can't see. I feel like no matter which way I go, it's going to hurt me to do it. Like, I think all the good short candidates right now are just like players that I'm like, you know, I think this guy is good. And I think I enjoy them, but I'm also on the other hand, like it's just, there's a little too much. I'm almost, oh man, like, do I double up here and try to, you know what? Yes. I'm going to do a short that I don't think is going to pay off, but I'm hoping it's going to serve as a reverse jinx to help the team. This is called selflessness. I'm shorting Chris again.
Okay.
I want to save the Chris combo till we get some listener calls because I think that he's been on a lot of people's minds recently. But I'm going to short Chris again, twice in a row. Paid off last week. He dropped for the first time since game 32. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not loving what I'm seeing and I need him to snap out of it. So like, I totally hope I'm wrong here and I don't get the bonus next week. And Chris looks great, but also it might work again.
That's fair. That's fair. I'm going to go with an obscure short.
Oh,
are you ready for this?
Is it
Pat? I'm going to go with Jordan Wara.
Oh my goodness. Is he even going to play?
That's what I'm thinking. He might. Because he's off the injury report. He might get some run.
We're going WORA. I think that's the first time we've interacted with Wara stock.
I think it is true. No, we did some buys early, I think.
Did we buy Jordan Wara?
No, we did not.
No, because the price was so high by the time that we started doing this. And he was really not with the team since. So, okay.
He's not on the injury report with his ankle injury. He might get some run. I don't know. I believe.
Yeah. I don't hate it.
It's a weird, I'm trying something here.
Yeah. Why not? Why not at all? It's, you know, I do think we'll eventually see one of these games where like a couple starters get the night off just because it's a long season, tightly compressed. And that's the kind of game where maybe it's this next Wizards game. Like Brad Beal got off the first one. Maybe the Bucks return the favor and, you know, sit some guys. Or maybe they sit Brook Lopez and it makes it even harder for Washington. Who knows?
And the Diakite gets a triple double like Russ did.
Oh my goodness. Russell Westbrook looked so good in that game.
He did. He
really all did. The Bucks. Yeah. Do you have any other Wara notes or should we open it up here?
I don't think I have anything on Wara. Maybe, let's see. We have the weird Toupon being back.
Yeah. Anyone in the chat who wants to come up on stage, request to speak now. Axel Toupon. Is it Toupon or Toupain? Doesn't Bucks Twitter do this every 4 years when he comes around again?
Yes. I thought Shams was just, honestly, he accidentally tweeted something from his drafts.
Yeah, from like 3 years ago.
Yeah. When that happened, it was just, it was, I don't, whatever. I don't understand. I really don't.
So I've seen a lot of, there's like conspiracy. Of course there is. There's conspiracy theories on Bucks Twitter. What is your take on what's going on? Like, I think it's as simple as Miles Powell never got signed and that's what's happening. But I have seen some folks be like, does this mean Diakite's on an NBA deal and all this? And I don't think it's that deep. I just think Miles Powell never happened.
That's weird, though.
It is weird.
That's so weird. That's not a thing that happens. Unless you're like EJ Montgomery. That's a deep cut.
Oh, my God. Yeah. So it clearly happens to the Bucks.
I don't know. I don't get it. I genuinely don't know. Like, why would they? It was like, what, a week ago?
Yeah, it was just about exactly a week ago. And I looked back at the tweet. So Shams' wording was very specific. It was basically like, the Bucks intend on planning. I don't know if he used both, but it was like, are planning on signing. So it wasn't like ironclad firm. And we never heard anything after that. I certainly don't, like, the Bucks never announced the deal. And now they plan on signing Axel Toupin. So either something happened with Miles Powell, something happened with Jalen Adams to, you know, the ongoing whatever legal case is happening there. But either something happened with Miles Powell or Milwaukee just like changed its mind and said, we actually don't need this small guard. Let's go with a guy with more size instead. I think Toupin did play quite well in the gobble from what I saw. But I think, did I say, is he 28 or 26? Like, not exactly.
28.
It's just like, you know, there's people.
What are you doing?
People in the replies, and I already asked him to come on Eurostep. Axel, if you're listening, come on Eurostep and defend yourself. But, there's, you know, they need a backup wing in this crazy season. It's like, they already have three guys that everybody wants to play that never get minutes. So I don't think this is like, if he comes in, he's all of a sudden in the rotation. That would be the stupidest thing on earth. Like, actually, there's four guys who everyone wants to play and get no minutes. If you count Torrey Craig, who is like roughly a similar build as Toupin. And I guess maybe Axel's a better shooter. I don't know.
Torrey Craig's just better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't think there's any way that
Axel Toupin is
going to be better than Torrey Craig.
I don't understand. I really don't.
And like, wouldn't, like, you'd rather see, like, you know, Jordan Wara, who's kind of a four, like a little small, but still, like, I think roughly, you know, close enough to Toupin to think that there's some overlap there. Like, you'd rather see him play. Certainly would rather see Diakite play. So it's like, I don't think this is like a, we plan to use this guy move. I mean, how many minutes have the Bucks two ways in total played this year? Like 10? Did Jalen Adams get in like a couple games, I think?
Yeah, he got in a couple games. So probably like 20.
20 total minutes. And it's now we're supposed to think that this move is like Toupin's going to come in and be like 11th guy off the bench. I don't see it. I don't get the point of doing this. Like, these seem like good spots for Jalen Adams played about 15 minutes. So yeah, about 20 some minutes. I don't know. I don't like it at all. If that's not clear, I don't see the purpose of this.
I just want the Bucks to announce what they're doing.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Like,
cause they haven't even announced that they've waived Jalen Adams.
Did they not do that even?
No, I don't believe so.
Let's go to the NBA.com roster and see what we can find out here.
Oh boy.
Sleuthing live on air.
I'm going to go to their transactions page.
Oh, yeah. Good transactions page is a good call. See, like, I don't understand this one. 2021 team roster. I think it shows no second two-way right now. I don't see Jalen Adams.
Okay, so maybe they did.
So they waived him. But I don't think they've made a move yet because there's no Axel and there's certainly no Miles Powell. So it looks like right now the spot is still open until whatever happens with it happens with it. Jordan Wara is listed at 6'8". So, yeah, basically the same dimensions as Toupin. I don't think he's going to play. I mean, that's like the one position.
They did officially waive Jalen Adams on March 5th.
Okay, yeah. So that's what I thought.
They didn't tweet it or anything. They just put it on the transaction log.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's around then was the Miles Powell thing that just didn't happen. And now we have Bucks legend Axel Toupin coming back.
Yeah, what was it, 2017 that he was there?
Yeah, it's honestly incredible that he hasn't played enough scattered minutes to be ineligible for a two-way at this point. So I think true. if you can have four or more seasons, I guess he just has two seasons. He has two seasons.
He played with the Warriors?
Not in the NBA.
Santa Cruz?
Yeah, or maybe in camp. He's only logged NBA minutes. He played 21 games with Denver in 2015-16. Two games with the Bucks, two games with the Pelicans, and that is his NBA career so far. And now he's Milwaukee's second two-way at age 28. This reminds me of the Bonzi Colson, I think.
What a call. Two-way.
Which, again, it's like nothing against Bonzi, who is like a good guy and, you know, a solid player at that level.
He was solid.
At that level, yeah, he's certainly solid. But it's like when you sign a two-way who is already 24 plus years old, you know, unless you like actually need him to play on your NBA team often, which the Bucks have literally pretty much never have two ways play regular minutes, I just don't see any upside at all. Like, why not grab someone who might develop into a good player later on?
Yeah. I like there's a couple, like Miles Powell.
Maybe. Yeah. I think the Knicks were, I guess he's back still with Westchester now. I don't understand. I guess the gobble's over, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, it's a weird situation. I feel like so much of these two-way and G League roster moves happen like under the table. It's shady.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Just give us an announcement or something.
Hey, everybody. We will get back to this episode of Bucks Stock Radio on the Eurostep podcast in just a moment. But first, a word from our friends at Brooklinen. Some mornings you wake up feeling ready to pull the covers back over your head and go back to sleep, especially this morning as I record on the evil Daylight Savings Time Sunday. No judgment, of course, but let's make having the most comfortable sheets the reason why you do that. Don't love your sheets? Brooklinen has you covered. Brooklinen was started by Rich and Vicky, who also tried to find beautiful home essentials that didn't cost an arm and a leg. And when they couldn't do it, they founded Brooklinen as the first direct-to-consumer bedding company. They work directly with manufacturers to make luxury available directly to you without the luxury-level markups. Brooklinen has a variety of sheets, colors, patterns, and materials to fit your needs and tastes. Brooklinen has over 50,000 five-star reviews and counting. They are so confident you will love their products, they even offer a 365-day money-back guarantee. That's 1 year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Brooklinen is so much more than sheets. They've got comforters, pillows, towels, even loungewear, and more. So go directly. Do not pass go. Go directly to brooklinen.com and use promo code Euro. Obviously, that is G-Y-R-O to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more. Plus, get that free shipping. That's brooklinen.com and enter that promo code Euro to get $25 off when you spend $100 or more, and that free shipping, brooklinen.com, and use promo code Euro at checkout. Okay, back to the show.
The economy is made up of real people doing real stuff, and it affects everything. Which you obviously know since you're a real person doing real stuff. Marketplace is here to help you get smart about everything beyond the what of the day's business and economic news. We dig into the how and the why with the real people driving our economy. From big tech and interest rates to small businesses and what's happening at the Fed, Marketplace breaks it all down so you don't have to. Listen to Marketplace wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you want to talk about Chris or Giannis? Because I don't want to talk about the two ways anymore.
We can do Chris. Let's do Chris.
So remember earlier in the season when Maxwell asked, can you lose a second round pick for not announcing a two-way contract? We'll see. Given that it's the Bucks, probably.
They'll lose something.
Yeah, the something's getting taken away from this. I guess their current two-way spot. The other thing, I can't believe I have one last thing on this. So some people were speculating that the NBA finally passed that rule to have a third two-way contract. They did not do that. I'm almost positive that never actually happened. It was just discussed. And I think there were competitive balance worries, which is really weird. But the big two-way change news is that they can play in the playoffs now and log more minutes with the NBA team. So I don't think teams get three two-ways at this point. I don't think that's a thing right now.
Okay. Because I don't know. It's weird. It's weird.
There's been so many two-way news that's not news floated this year, both in terms of the Bucks individual players and in terms of rule changes. But they haven't actually done very much to the contract.
A topic that's probably going to amount to nothing for most teams.
Exactly. I love competitive balance concerns. The third two-way is going to absolutely swing. The Lakers are going to add a top-flight player with less than 4 years of experience who can't sign a normal deal, and it's stupid. All right. Chris Middleton, do you remember earlier in the season, Rohan, when I had a mind-blowing Chris Middleton stat, the good kind, and how fun that was?
Yep.
I now have one that's the bad kind. Chris Middleton splits month over month, and I know this is in our master doc, so you've seen this, but act surprised when I read them.
Okay.
Basically, our guy Chris, everyone knows we love Chris, just trying to – I feel like a canary in the coal mine here on Chris Middleton this year. Over the last 4 months, basically has gotten worse in pretty much every area. Here's the basic splits. So from December to March, so obviously March is only four games, but there's definitely a troubling trend. So December, 22.6 points, 6.6 rebounds, 6.4 assists per game. Absolutely awesome. 50.6% from the field, 45% from three, and a true shooting percentage of 63.9. All NBA stuff. Absolutely looking terrific. January, 20.9 points, 6.4 rebounds, 5.6 assists. All down, but not down a ton. Nothing too crazy to worry about. Shooting 51% from the field, 43% from three, true shooting of 63.2. So it's okay, a slight dip, but it's not that concerning. I mean, it's just gone down a little bit. February, 19.5 points, 5.6 rebounds, 5.7 assists. 48.7% from the field, 42.6% from three. A true shooting now has dropped about 5 points to 58.9%. So now it's he's still shooting well, especially from three, but the twos not falling to the same degree at all. And pretty much production down across the board. The assist ticked up 0.1, but still way down from December when we saw, aggressive, more point guardy Chris that we loved. And now in four games of March, 18.0 points, 6 rebounds. That's up a little bit, but 5 assists, 5.0, the lowest of any month so far this season for Chris. 42% from the field, 31.3% from three, a true shooting down to 57.8%. So clearly some more of those twos falling for that number to not drop like a rock considering the change in three-point percentage, but still, it's not good. It's not good. I mean, basically from 26, 6, 6.5, 6.5, with just unbelievable shooting numbers to 18, 6, and 5 on shooting numbers. I think the three-point will go up. 31% is very low for Chris, but it's not a great trend.
No, it's really not. It's kind of bad, if we're being completely honest here. This is not what this team needs at all. At all. It's December Chris was just otherworldly. That's why we were so high on how this team could perform, because of how December Chris was playing. We were hyping him up, saying he's all NBA. I said he's better than prime Paul George.
Yeah, you did. You did. I remember. I think about that sentence all the time. At the time, at first I was like, I don't know, but then you won me over, and he was playing so well at the time. And now I look back on it like, oh man, that one. Chris did not do us any favors on our take validity scale with that one.
That's one of my hotter ones, I will say. but it's just, this is just who he is as a player. We have to accept that now.
Like, what do you mean by this?
He will have these stretches where he's just, he's not as locked in. He's not as aggressive. He just fades in and out of games. That's just who he is. That's who he is. We have to accept that at this point. We've been wanting him for years to, like, you know, show up at a high level on a consistent basis because we know he can. Maybe he's in his own head at this point because he's not really being aggressive when we know he can be in terms of what he wants to do, like get to his spots, take more shots. It's just, this is who he is.
Yeah. And I think the part I really don't like about the trend here, I would much rather see it in reverse and see him have some wishy-washy numbers while Drew was operating at full power. And then, like, the time while Drew is out, that's when I'd like to see a fall off, right? Like, I'm sorry, when Drew is out, I'd like to see the best numbers. Because, like, there's touches to go around. It's not like the Bucks are humming at such an efficient level over the last 2 months that Chris has been able to take a back seat, no problem. The February and March has been the worst time of the season for this team. They've lost Drew or had, you know, kind of recovering from COVID Drew for a lot of those games in that span. And, you know, the assists are down and the points are down and their shooting efficiency isn't as good. And I guess, you know, you could say, fine, if his shooting efficiency goes down without Drew Holiday out there, that does make some sense. But you don't want to see all the other stuff go down too. Like, the Bucks needed Chris to step up more than ever during this run. And he had some of his absolute worst games of the season. And we got back to this place, this horrible place. I still shudder about this, even though Giannis is signed long-term now, of like, this is the nightmare for the Bucks. It's like, Giannis looks like an MVP and nobody else on the team is even close. And he's putting up 28, 8, and 8. And the Bucks are like down by 10 points. And, you know, they're plus 8 with him and minus 600 without him every night or whatever else. So I think that is, that's the concern at this point. And it's like, it's exactly what you don't want to see. I mean, I've said this for a while, but the one thing you don't want to see is it being the Giannis show with nobody else nearby. So I feel like this, you know, this inconsistency from Chris that I think you nailed it. Unfortunately, that is just what the Bucks are working with at this point. Kind of highlights the importance of Drew Holiday. No,
it really is. It comes back to what we've been talking about this season with why Drew Holiday is such a massive upgrade. It's because it gives you another person who's capable of creating their own shot and you trust to create their own shot at any level. And they honestly need that. Like what you were saying about the nightmare situation where it's like Giannis is looking incredible and then the rest of the team doesn't perform. That was last night's game against the Wizards.
Yeah.
It really
until
was.
Until the very end, basically.
Yeah. Because, like, am I wrong here? They were down to the Washington Wizards without Bradley Beal, and then Giannis had to step up for the Bucks to be in that game.
No, you nailed it. And those are, like, my least favorite Bucks games because it's great to see Giannis playing well, but he shouldn't have to struggle and, like, work this hard for a team with this many plus players to beat the Wizards without Bradley Beal, Thomas Bryant's out for the season. Like, the Wizards are going through it this year. They got some nice wins over the last couple of weeks.
Like Westbrook was playing really well. Hashimura had a career night. Like credit to them, but still. Like,
yeah, it shouldn't be this hard. It shouldn't be this hard at all.
No.
Yeah, it's tough. I do think, and I'm not going to rail on Drew to the same extent just because, I mean, he's still getting his legs back under him. Chris doesn't have anything like that, right? Like he's been in the lineup all year. He's just been here, and it's not been great.
No, hopefully, like there's still time for him to turn it around. There really is. If anything, this is the perfect time to have a bad run because it's the middle of the season. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
So as long as he gets back to it, like at the end of the season, playoff time, where we know he's capable, that's really what matters.
I need to see a great all-around playoff run. No more Orlando series from Chris. What I want to see this. No series off. As we get Eric up here, I think. Maybe muted, maybe not. What's up, Eric?
What's up, Ty? How's it going, guys?
Good, man. How are you? What's on your mind with regards to the Bucks right now?
Well, obviously, I think I don't know what you guys have talked about. I was actually running another show before this, but the I was curious if you guys discussed the general idea of Russ getting a triple double. The reaction—I mean, it's kind of expected at this point, right? With Russ getting a triple double, Giannis getting a triple double, everyone cares about Russ getting one, Giannis getting one. It's like, yeah, it's kind of like a everyday thing. When it's not, I was curious if you guys had that discussion yet.
That's an Rohan. You what are your thoughts? That's we haven't gone at it from that angle for sure. We just mentioned Russ, but it wasn't the reaction of their triple doubles. I guess it is interesting.
I'll let you take it first.
Well, I mean, I think the issue with like any Bucks discourse right now is everyone's going to be a little bit harsh just because it's been such an up and down season, and the Bucks I think have come close to the summit and failed in spectacular ways a few times. So I just feel like there's less applauding things like Giannis triple doubles lately. Although I think I heard this was the first time he'd ever had them in back to back games, so that's pretty sweet for Giannis. But I think Russ getting one felt so bad in part because it's like, I mean, this isn't MVP year Russ anymore. And the Bucks really should have been able to do a bit of a better job against him than letting him go off for, what the hell did he have, like 30-point triple-double? He had 42 points?
I'm pretty sure.
Oh, my. See, that's like, that is a problem. Like, he was the only real plus. I mean, I guess Rui is great in this game. Next, new Giannis, Rui Hachimura had a really good game. But it's like, without Beal, Russ should not be able to score that much against the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it's supposed to be a really good defensive team with great defensive players, and the guy just went off. I mean, you got to tip your cap and just give Russ some credit for doing that, but I do think it looked way too easy for him and for Washington all night long. I wanted to see, honestly, Giannis defending him and just, like, letting him shoot every jumper, but often.
He did go 5 of 11 from 3.
Yeah, I mean, sure, but that's 15 points. The guy added how many ever, I can't do math, but 27 points from 2 in free throws.
Mm-hmm. Got to the free throw line 9 times, hit 5 of them. Just, it's honestly, especially when you have Jrue Holiday at the point of attack, like it's just disappointing, honestly. Like, I feel like maybe we're not giving Russ enough credit here.
Probably.
I think that might be what it is, because he's still, like, he's won an MVP, like, given he is, like, not MVP Russ, like you just mentioned, but still, he's still a good player. Like, can be a good player.
I'll say I liked the trade when they made it. I thought it was a good trade when Washington got him, because I thought he and Beal and Bertans, who has not shot well, but I think he's dealing with COVID stuff as well. Like, I was like, all that spacing around Russ, this could be great. I mean, he's an all-NBA player last year. So it probably is a little unfair to just, you know, go, Russ got all that. How could the Bucks let that happen? But on the other hand, I think they should have been able to key on him a lot better, considering, you know, no Beal.
Also, he is used to being, like, at his peak form when he's the only guy.
Yeah. Especially, oh, yeah. Because This is his comfort zone.
So I think that may be part of it. It's just, we tip your cap to Russell Westbrook in that regard.
We should probably appreciate Giannis more, though.
Yeah, that's fair. Giannis getting, it's like you mentioned, it's just sort of, it's sort of the fatigue, like regular season accomplishments by anyone on the Milwaukee Bucks are not going to be appreciated, whether that's fair or not. It's just not going to happen at this point, because they've had 2 years of great regular season. Like, this is how fast things move in the NBA. They've had 2 good regular seasons and then 2 like playoff exits as an actual contender. And yet we're already at this point where it's like, okay, do something in the playoffs or we don't care, sort of thing.
It's a wild era these days, man.
It is. Like, they were 2 games away from the finals 2 years ago.
Sometimes I think about, like, how different this team would be perceived if they were, like, in the 80s, right? Like, how many playoff runs, or even, like, the 90s, like, how many playoff runs did, like, Reggie Miller and Pat Ewing get, and they never won it, and they didn't even go to the finals all that often, but it was like there was a different amount of respect for teams like that back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, a couple decades ago.
I feel like that's going to come with time.
You think so? You think, you know, even if they don't get, I don't know, man. Like, how do we look at Paul George's Pacers? I guess there's some respect there.
There is respect there. They went toe-to-toe with the Heat.
Yeah. I don't know. I hope so. I want the Bucks to win a title and put themselves in a different convo than Pat Ewing's Knicks and Reggie Miller and Paul George's Pacers. But I don't know. I do feel like back in the day there was a little bit more. I don't know. Maybe, who knows? Maybe talk radio back in the 90s, they were slandering all these guys. Who can say? I can't. I'm not that old, but
I think it'll come with time. But also, it's a different era.
It is. I think there's a little more vicious. I don't know. People said some out of pocket things back in the day too.
Definitely.
Eric, do you feel like, did we cover the question or did we miss the question?
No, I think that was good. I just noticed it because I was like, man, somebody had posted a screenshot of, because NBA Central tweeted out very similar tweets. I shouldn't care about this that much because we're used to it. But I was like, man, you know, Russ gets a lot, like he lost. Why is that? we care about it. Like it's his, the narrative back in when he won the MVP was he averaged a triple double, and that's why we should give it to him. Like that's what Michelle Beadle said. If you guys remember that, I don't know, but
that.
so that pretty much covered it though.
Eric, do you remember who you wanted to win MVP that year?
I think I wanted Harden because I enjoyed more so him having more success. I didn't think that was the reason you should give an MVP just because of numbers. Like that's. They're scraping the barrel in the sixth seed. Like, come on.
That's where Jokic is right now. Right after I finish this that year MVP thing, I want to talk Giannis MVP. Eric, feel free to hang out and weigh in on that. But Rohan, do you remember? I think that was 16-17. Do you remember who you wanted to win MVP
100%.
That year?
100%. I had Kawhi.
I had Kawhi too. Oh, we have that in common. Kawhi, that is a great forgotten season for him and for that team. That's, what did they win, 67 games that year?
Yes.
Because the Warriors broke the record, but the Spurs were so – I think they had a legit chance in that series before Zaza takes out Kawhi. Like, I think they had a shot to beat the Warriors.
Oh, 100%. Zaza changed 20? The course of history.
They were up 20 when Kawhi goes out?
What's that?
Whatever – was that the second round, I think? Or was it
the
first?
No, it had to be the second round.
Second round. That's crazy. That was a second round series given how good those teams
were. Or was
it
the conference finals?
It must have been conference finals, right? It had to be. Yeah. That was a great season for Kawhi and the Spurs. Spurs, I feel like Pop, after kind of celebrating the fact that he was washed a year, 2 years ago, Spurs look kind of good again. I don't want to do a whole Spurs thing right now. But I want to wrap with Giannis MVP. And I'm glad we're talking MVPs because I do feel like I've seen a little bit, especially even last night on Twitter, I think, was it Josh Eberle or someone who was like, I think it was Josh, friend of the show, Dunks and Discourse. Check out his podcast and check him out on Twitter. But basically said, Giannis is having one of the great seasons for someone who's getting absolutely no MVP buzz. I actually think he's going to get himself back in the conversation here. I mean, you look at all the leading candidates are falling off for various reasons. Some unfortunate, like Joel Embiid gets diagnosed with COVID, comes back from that, or I think does, or at least tests positive. I don't know if he had it or not.
He hurts his to someone who had tested positive.
Okay, yeah, that's it. My bad on that. I got that wrong. But now it looks like he hurt his knee a little bit. Apparently it's not going to be that serious from the initial reports, but still he's going to miss some time and it could slow him down a little bit for sure. And certainly, you know, not celebrating that, to be clear. It sucks that Joel Embiid I think it was a somewhat – Rohan, please check me on this, but a hyperextended knee?
It was a hyperextended knee that resulted in a bone bruise.
Okay. But I think the initial is that it's not going to keep him out for a long time, which is good.
No, it's 2 to 3 weeks.
That's a long time for an MVP, and he's obviously, you know, you never know how rusty he's going to be coming back from that. LeBron, who I think was up there for a little while, has kind of fallen off even earlier. Like, without Anthony Davis, I think everyone expected the Lakers to be just fine. And they're 4-6 over the last 10 games with only a slightly better record than the Bucks. So I don't think his case looks that ironclad anymore. I mean, maybe he just gets it because he's LeBron and he's old, but I think there's a lot of momentum lost there. And Jokic, I mean, Eric, you mentioned the Thunder were only the sixth seed when Russ won, and that was an indictment on him. The Nuggets are still in sixth. I mean, they're only 3 games away from third because the West is insane. But it's like they're not dominating any teams. They're 7-3 over their last 10. They're rising a little bit. I think Jokic is probably the leader in the clubhouse right now. But I don't know. Am I crazy for thinking Giannis is going to get himself at least top three with everything else going on around the league or no?
I think he can definitely get top three. We have people in chat saying like three in a row is just crazy because of the voter fatigue. It's just that's got to be it. I do not think that he's going to win it. I really don't.
No.
Should he? Maybe.
I think he should be top three. I want to hear from Eric. Eric, what do you think on Giannis MVP right now, given the state of the race?
I think comparatively, you start looking at where other teams are on the standings, as you mentioned, with the Nuggets being in the middle of the pack in the West. And I was talking about the comparison with Embiid, and they only have a two-game pad on the Bucks. I was talking about this a week ago before the second half started, and I was like, well, I think the Bucks would need at least a 4-5 or better game lead on either Philly or Brooklyn to warrant him being like better than he was, or, you know, like, it's hard to say that at this point because he's so great. Yeah. And I just don't know if he's, yeah, voter fatigue is a real thing. Like, we see it. Westbrook had the triple double season. He did it, I think, the next year, and then he wasn't even in the conversation.
And nobody cared at all. Everyone was like, okay, yeah, it's old news now.
Yeah. So I think that with Giannis, they're like, oh, we've seen this twice. Yeah, do it in the playoffs. Like, if you don't have that playoff success to back it up, while it is a regular season award, I think that does that it has some weight, and mm-hmm. especially with all the weird people who have votes. Yeah. Like, I hope they've, you know, what I'm talking about, the Greg
the
guy,
Andre Drummond guy.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah,
Andre Drummond, DPOY guys. He leads the league in rebounds. What else is defense?
Yeah, so I mean, that's what I start to look at. I think the Bucks would need to finish first. I think they would need. Like, he has to do something better or different, and that's hard to do, even though you're maintaining such a high level of play. But no, I think it's going to be easier if Embiid's going to miss time. But if the Sixers are near the same record at the end of this, I think Embiid will get it. Or, I mean, there could be another, like Jokic is going to be in it, obviously, if Damian Lillard is in it for some reason. I think there's a case you can make for him if the Blazers are back up in the top four with given their injuries and all the stuff they've been through. But LeBron, you mentioned, I think is, it's funny with him. I think he's talked about, oh, I could average a, what was it, 50, 40, 90 or something like that if I wanted to. And then
he's hilarious,
like, he
man.
Doesn't do it and then complains about, oh, there's no recognition. Like shut up. Give me a break.
I want to see LeBron shoot 40% from three if he wanted to.
Right. He must have done it at least once, right? Or no?
Potentially at like 2012, 2013, LeBron, when he was just God tier.
I thought he had gotten close. He's gotten much better in his later years. I don't know if he's ever actually gotten to 40. No, you're lying.
Right. That was right. 40 in 2012.
Oh, let's go.
2013.
But he shot 75% from the free throw line. So not a 50, 40, 90. Yeah, he's actually been farther away that way. He's never touched 80% in a season from free throw.
And you know what's funny is everyone was complaining about Giannis missing free throws. Like, LeBron has never gotten that flack, I don't think. And he's always been a 70 or under.
Yeah, actually, this year he's at 68.9%.
Yeah, in the past 3 years.
Yeah, he's not been great since becoming a Laker from free throw. I actually didn't notice that. That's interesting.
The argument there is he has the title to back it up.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think early in the career, I think he got flack for everything. I think he got flack for everything before he won. I think Quay Wavy pointed it out first in the chat. Of course, Skip drags him for everything, but Harden is the name we haven't mentioned. I think Harden is back in it. I do think the case against Harden, it's ultimately it's going to depend how much KD plays, because I do think it's one of those, like, KD and Steph weren't going to win when they were on the same team, just because they were both at such a wild level. That, like, how do you give it to one of them, right? Like, how would you determine that? KD has missed so much time. Harden has carried that team. And I don't think Kyrie had a great game against Boston, I think purely out of spite. I don't think he's going to play at enough of a level to where you say you can't give it to Harden. So, like, if the Nets finish first in the East and KD misses a bunch of time, or kind of they bring him back slowly, I think Harden probably has a chance right there. I do think it's funny that the Jazz are just not considered at all, despite being by record, and I think by point differential, the best team in the league by a healthy margin. I get it. I don't think they have a great candidate, but it is just kind of funny that no one is throwing out Rudy Gobert right now.
That's okay.
Nobody likes Rudy Gobert.
Well, I mean, I guess would it even be Gobert? Would it be Donovan Mitchell? Would it be Mike Conley? That's
exactly
their issue.
I think they don't have like a bona fide, just absolute superstar.
It's the Bud Hawks thing,
yes.
Right? Like, their MVP, it would just be like the award is announced, the 2021 Jazz win MVP. Like, their starting five wins MVP this year. That'd be the only way it happens.
Oh my goodness.
That was a good point about Kevin Durant is now he's missed half of the games this season. After the second half started, he had played in 19 and they started at games 38, 39. If you're missing half the season, I think that's a Harden does have a case, especially when I think he doesn't have a timetable and why rush him, right? I mean, he's already been through that Achilles injury that kept him out for, what, 18 months almost?
He's dealing with a hamstring right now. And they said earlier, it'll be like 3 games. It's been like a month.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, good for them. But, I mean, just be honest, Brooklyn.
And on the basketball reference they have is like latest update as of 2 days ago. It said he's making improvement, but no timetable has been announced. And said he's slated to get more imaging done on his hamstring. I don't know what that means.
It doesn't sound good.
Yeah. So, yeah, he could definitely, if they're, that's the thing, between the three, Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, whoever finishes first has the better case. But even if, like I think Giannis and, like, the Bucks are going to need a pad. It can't be their a game better. It has to be at least 4 or 5 to make it significant, especially when you consider, like, Drew being out for 10 games, that stretch where everyone was calling for Bud to be fired, all that stuff.
Mm.
Right? So, I mean, like, that's, yeah, big part of it.
I think you made you.
Rohan, can you see someone from the Suns?
Maybe.
They're second in the West right now. I think Booker's clearly their best player.
I feel like they should be in the conversation necessarily because they've been playing so well. Like CP and Booker have just been incredible this entire season. Booker's sort of getting his footing with Chris Paul in the lineup because earlier in the season, those two kind of struggled when they shared the court together. But I feel like now they're figuring it out, really. I do want to say, Eric, I think you'd made a great point about record really being the probably the deciding factor here in the East, at least, because what's Embiid's case? It's record, realistically, because he's putting up, let's see, 29.9 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists. Like, those are Giannis numbers.
And Joker's putting up way better numbers.
Yeah, but Embiid also has, like, the elite defensive force as well.
Yes, fair.
But that's essentially Giannis.
We can give Embiid most improved.
That's fair, honestly. I feel like that'd be a solid idea.
Compromise.
Yeah.
I have not thought about that award at all. I was ready to give Dante most improved like 2 weeks into the season. That one did not work out. I do wonder, like, I think if any of the Clippers, Trailblazers, or Nuggets finish top two in the West, I could see their best guy winning it. I think they're all sneakily pretty good candidates, whether it's Kawhi, Dame, or Jokic. And they're all, you know, very close to that. I think the Clippers are one game away from being tied for second right now. The Nuggets are 1.5, and the Blazers are 2.5, and the Blazers are 2 games away from second. So, like, or 3 games, excuse me, 3 and 3.5. But it's like they're all very close to that upper echelon. So, like, if Dame stays this hot and they're second in the West or something, I think he might just win one because everyone likes Dame. And he's obviously the best player on the team, right? There's none of that concern that there is with Utah or even with Brooklyn. It's like, okay, yeah, it's Dame. CJ's a fine player. Nurkic has barely played. I mean, who's their third best guy been this season? I guess Gary Trent or I don't even know, Melo. I think Dame is up there too. Shout out to Melo, man.
Passing Hakeem.
Everybody, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was wondering, like, Phoenix, you talk about,
yeah,
like, does Chris Paul have a legit – I think he has a case because of Phoenix being dismal for years and now he comes in and makes that team better. Like, I think if Phoenix is up there, he has a case. Not to necessarily win it, but, I think you have to give him consideration.
I don't think he's going to ever – I don't think we'll see an MVP for a long time. Right now, just under 16 points a game. I think he's been really, really good, but I think Booker would be the guy. And that's the issue with the Suns, right? It's kind of similar to the Jazz where it's like, who would actually win it on this team? I think Booker is their best player, but I do think Chris Paul's impact has been profound. I mean, mostly their team stays the same aside from like getting Jay Crowder in there. And all of a sudden – I mean, I think Bridges gets much better this year, but – you add Chris Paul and suddenly they're top two in the West at the moment. But yeah, it's tough. I mean, I think there's so many difficult cases. I do think there's going to be, I think it's going to be a close finish. Like, I don't think we're going to know without a doubt who the top two finishers are going to be until the last month of the season. Whereas last year, in the last 2 years, really, it was like basically Giannis, Harden, or LeBron pretty much all year. I mean, there were some other guys who snuck in here or there, but most of the season we knew it was going to be one of those guys and probably was going to be Giannis for a lot of the year. This year, I would not put money down on anybody right now. Like, I think, especially with COVID and how much that could impact this thing, like, there's so many random runs that we're going to see happen for the next 35-ish games. I think it could go, like, legit five different directions at least.
Yeah, fair. We got Q Wavy in the chat saying Nash won it twice with the same kind of stats as Chris Paul. I feel like it's a different era. It really is. You, especially in the inflated offensive sort of production numbers you have nowadays. 16 points, like you said, Ty, just an insanely massive impact. He just doesn't have the counting stats. It's just impossible.
Yeah, I don't know. It's gonna be an interesting race, but I don't think Giannis wins. I don't trust the Bucks to be good enough over the last stretch. I do agree with Eric. They'd have to go on like a wild winning streak, I think, to actually win it. Like, I think they'd have to have the best record probably in the whole NBA, not just in the East. I think they'd have to have the best record in the NBA. And I think Brooklyn is probably going to be positioned to have the best MVP candidate. I saw Brian, Bucks film room, said if Embiid returns in close to 2 weeks, I think he'll win. I think he'll have a chance. I think if either Brooklyn, I guess if Brooklyn, Philly, or Milwaukee like dominates the East for the rest of the season and comes out on top, I think maybe anyone, or not anyone, maybe it would be Embiid, Harden, or Giannis. I think Giannis probably the worst chance just because of voter fatigue. I think a lot of things would, I think there'd have to be like 15 different things that happen for Giannis to win. But I think like Embiid or Harden, it's like if their team wins a lot and they stay at their level of play, it could be them. I think like five different guys out West could win it depending how the season ends up. But if Utah and Phoenix stay on top of the conference, I do think the team in the driver's seat in the East suddenly has a great chance.
Yeah. I think if everyone is sort of close-ish, I think it'll go to LeBron, honestly. There's definitely a push for him to win it this year, especially among people who have votes and decide these things. So it's just, I think he's going to get one. I think he's going to get another one.
From the I don't watch games, I read tweets population of voters.
Yeah, sort of. Plus, it's like, oh, he's proven in the playoffs again that he's the best player. Okay, sure, whatever. It's not a postseason award. Like, I'm not saying it's deserving. And sure, like, if LeBron wins it, I will not really have a problem with it because the league, and he has proven it. So I wouldn't really have a problem realistically with it. I think there would be more deserving candidates. But I wouldn't necessarily.
I think Anthony Davis looks more deserving right now. The team can't win games without him.
But I think if it's really close between a bunch of different candidates, I think it defaults to LeBron. Not saying I agree with it. I think that's what will happen.
I got to say, I think I'm pulling for Jokic or Embiid. I would like to see one of the big guys win. I if it's not Giannis, I just don't think it's going to be Giannis. Kawhi
I was
going to
say, if it's not Giannis.
Yeah. Of course, Giannis first is my first preference. But I would also like Dame. I think some of these first-time guys, it'd just be fun to watch them get it. This was how I felt about Julius Randle getting All-Star. I was like, hell yeah, like let's see Julius Randle be an All-Star. I think that's neat to see a new player win it. We get Giannis hitting a three and crowning himself in the chat. One of my favorite gifts of all time, honestly. I love that stat. But I do agree Harden has a legit case. I think, is he the leader in the clubhouse right now? Probably.
Harden?
I think, like, right now, at this very moment, who has a better case?
I don't think so.
I guess Embiid?
I would say Embiid now.
I'd say Jokic has a better case, because you do have to include the Houston debacle, as Q said.
Yeah. I don't know. I think people have forgotten about it. Brooklyn's just fun.
No. Yeah? I don't think so.
I don't know. But what else? What other Bucks stuff should we talk about? Who else wants to hear a new Bucks topic? Eric, do you have another question or anything else that you've been thinking about? We already went deep on Chris and Giannis.
Have you discussed any trades? Any potential trades you wanted to look at?
I actually have not. We did the trade episode last week. Rohan, have you seen anything new? Anyone in the chat, if you want to weigh in on a trade? I know there's still so much PJ Tucker smoke. I'm so tired of people hating on me for not wanting them to trade for PJ Tucker. I don't know how many different ways I can phrase he's washed. Okay. Maxwell says, discuss the DeLon Wright trade from the Discord. I'll pull that up right now. But Rohan, do you have anything else in the meantime that you've been thinking about?
I said this on Twitter. It's not really feasible, but something I would maybe want or talk myself into is a DeMar DeRozan trade. I don't know why I've been thinking.
Oh, I would love I've been a DeMar thinking DeRozan about that trade. A little.
I can't really make it work in a realistic standpoint. I've been playing around on the trade machine. It doesn't work super well. I don't know. I feel like that'd be a great addition and shore up the start two spot. He's been playing really well this season. I doubt San Antonio would actually trade him if they're just doing it just to trade him. So he's nearly an all-star this season in the West. I don't know. It would be a great trade. It's just not really feasible, but that's one name that's been on my mind.
I wish it was feasible. I wish they wanted to get rid of him and not LaMarcus, honestly.
Yeah, no LaMarcus either. No.
No, definitely not in trade. I mean, if he's the buyout guy, fine. Like, it's really like a no risk move, but definitely do not want to trade 20 plus million in salary for, you know, offensively inclined, but the same stage of their career, Brook Lopez.
Yeah. Ty, I completely agree with you that PJ Tucker would be useless and unplayable at times in the playoffs. Like, we already have essentially what he does in Torrey Craig, and he doesn't play.
Yes, so, and that's also very true.
So it doesn't make any sense, and the Rockets are not going to want DJ Wilson as a – like, that wouldn't make any sense for them. I don't know, unless they see something we don't.
Well, you have to move real salary for him, which is the real issue, right?
Right.
Like you have to – either it's Brook Lopez, who, I mean, honestly, like, I don't think PJ is going to help that much more than – if at all, more than Brook Lopez. And, again, you're going to have to attach picks. It's not like Houston is like, oh, we really need a big center who's getting paid for 3 years as we tear down the roster and tank, like – he's not appealing to them at all, or multiple players. I don't see it working. So here's the DeLon Wright trade. DeLon Wright from the Pistons, who, again, another one of those teams where it's like they're just going to take what they can get for anyone they don't see as a core piece. And I think DeLon Wright is like 28, so probably not a core piece. I'm pretty sure he is 28. So DeLon Wright for the two DJs, DJ Augustine, DJ Wilson, and second-round picks in 2023 and 2024. I don't know if they have both of those. This is Trade NBA. I don't know if they updated the one that got stolen from the Bucks, but – by the corrupt NBA, but I know they have at least 2 second round picks. So we can certainly assume that they can trade 2 seconds and those two players for DeLon Wright. So you open up a roster spot. You also open up $2.2 million in space. So you could certainly sign, I think, two more players right away at that point. Or at least you could sign one and then sign another one around where they could now. Rohan, you first. What do you think about DeLon Wright for the two DJs and 2 second round picks?
I think it would be fine. I feel like that might be a little too much to really give up for potentially a lateral move in that DJA has actually started to produce again, like we talked about earlier. And DeLon Wright, like, he's not like an insanely massive upgrade. I think he would be really good on this team. I just think that might be giving up a little too much as currently constructed for, like I said, what might end up being a lateral move.
Eric, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. They're so cap strapped right now. It seems like it would be difficult to do anything unless you do part ways with Brook. And I'm not sure. I don't see Brook making it the full contract that he has, but I think he gets through this season at least. Because we've seen, I know he's been slower than usual, but he's always been slow. I've made the case that this isn't anything very, you know, I know he's declined a little bit, but I think he's still. We've seen spurts where all of a sudden he will have a 4 or 5 block game like we saw just a couple days ago. And yeah, I know there's been people saying he's bullied by smaller guys or other bigs. Like last night, we saw it a few times with Alex Len, I think. And it was, you know, it's hoping it works itself out because I like Brook and I think he's been better, especially from 3 this year. Like I know last year was like he fell off down close to 30%, I think.
Yeah.
But I don't see them doing anything, or they don't have the capabilities to do stuff unless they want to part ways with someone of other value like Dante, which I don't think they're willing to part ways with yet. I mean, I guess you could see Augustine, but as you know, you guys just said, he's been playing better as of late. And I think that, you know, there's a lot of value to his distribution that other people seem to ignore or choose not to recognize. I don't know what you want to attribute that to, but no, I think I'm not sure they'll be very loud or noisy come 11 days.
I hope they do. I think my difference with you on Brook is I do think offensively he's not been bad. I think he's been better than last season. I think the half or full step he lost on defense just feels so impactful. Like, he's still big and he's still slow overall. Like, you know, as compared to every other player on the roster, he's still like the bigger, slower guy. But I do think the step that he lost is just killing him, like in trying to recover and deflect shots. So he did have the great game the first game back from the break. I thought he looked awesome. It was very encouraging. You know, last night, it didn't love it. We'll see going forward. I would like to see it resolve itself. I'm a little worried. I think they should look at different. I mean, that's really the one redeeming part of the PJ Tucker thing. And Brian chimed in and said he can guard bigger guys where Torrey Craig, we haven't seen as much of that. That's fair. And I do think instead of going for a center, maybe the Bucks should go for a better stretch four. Like, that's why I was in love with the Otto Porter move, which I don't think is happening, but would be awesome. Here's the case for DeLon Wright and making this trade for DeLon Wright. Basically, what you're doing is trying to upgrade from DJ Augustine and probably get off the 3-year DJ Augustine contract based on his size and how he's looked. So first point for DeLon Wright is he's bigger. He's listed at 6'5", and actually technically as a shooting guard, although he would certainly, I think, slot in at the DJ Augustine role on the Bucks. He's younger than DJ Augustine. You know, he's about to turn 29, so still kind of in the mid-prime. He's a good shooter. This year, actually, this is why I'm a little worried. It's actually his best three-point shooting season. He's at 39% on just 2.5 per game. But he's also consistently shot 50-plus percent from two, and he's averaging 10 points, just under 4 assists and 4.5 rebounds. So, like, and 1.4 steals, which isn't bad for his 29 minutes. Basically been a starter in Detroit. Would not be that with the Bucks. I do kind of think that DeLon Wright is what I hope DJ Augustine would be for the Bucks. So course correcting from DJ Augustine, who, you know, has shown some flashes. I don't disagree. Overall has been, I would say, very disappointing based on what I'd hoped for as like an elite backup point guard, given that he was a starter for so long. I'm a little worried DeLon Wright's shooting wouldn't hold up. I think that's my biggest concern, but I do see a lot of upside. I think I would like this trade if they made it.
Yeah, I can't really argue with you there.
He's big, Rohan. Yeah, he's tall.
He is. He'd be a massive upgrade defensively, in terms of skill and just sheer size.
I want a backup point guard taller than me. That's my new bar for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Is that a height flex, Ty?
I'm 6'1" unofficially, and that's the new bar. Sorry, DJ Augustine. No disrespect to any short kings out there. But I'm looking for some height now for my Milwaukee Bucks.
Okay.
Ty, you got to go down to Menominee Nations Arena and try out for the Herd.
I know. When they're back, maybe I'll have to. I've been covering them. I think it's like against the rules. It's like you can't be a player coach. I don't think you can be a reporter player. But maybe I'll. They do have the tryouts. I don't go because I'm just really bad and I don't want to embarrass myself. But I might have to for the hashtag content soon. We should do it. I think you're gonna be clearly the better player. But Now I'm gonna have to like train like a madman or something, just to not be the first guy cut. It's like my Wes Matthews defense. It's like it's principle. I want to be the second guy cut, not the first guy.
It always brings it back. But yeah, I can't think of any other real trades off the top of my head here. It's difficult, like you mentioned, Eric. It's with the way that the Bucks salaries are set up in terms of positional need, it's sort of impossible to make like a real big impact trade. Maybe not like super massive, because that's obviously impossible, but like sort of like a small-ish, medium-ish, like a what's the word I'm looking for here? Like maybe not a Woj bomb, maybe like a Woj firework sort of trade. Like it's difficult.
Yeah. Here's my last question before I think we're about ready to wrap up here. And I want to throw it to Eric first. And thank you for coming on here and hanging out, Eric. It's been awesome talking Bucks with you. I think I know your answer to this, but let's make it a 1-to-1 trade so the Bucks only have one roster spot still and save a little cash. Brook Lopez and 2 second-round picks for DeLon Wright. Yes or no?
Ooh. Oh, man. Well, see, my only problem with this is –
it like, really imbalances the roster position.
Right, right. Yeah. So then you have to play, like, who do you start at that point? Bobby? You start Bobby maybe, and then that's what people want, is to start Bobby. And I don't think – we've seen matchup issues where – and this might be on Bud more than it is on Bobby, but times where Bobby's just too small and he gets burnt in the post and he's – you know, that's just – that is what it is. 2 second round picks, and I'm not a big pick guy, so I think those I don't care about at this point. And maybe the NBA is going to impose a restriction on the Bucks that they are no longer allowed to trade any draft picks.
Yeah, I think you got to trade them before they get taken away at this point.
Use it or lose it, right?
Yeah.
I would say no, just because I don't – I think it does, as you say, imbalance the roster a little bit. I think if you trade Brook for somebody, you have to get – either if you really want to go down the PJ route, fine. But I think you need someone to replace him. While he has declined, his presence is still notable in that he, not everyone's going to go at him. While you've seen some people go at him, there's still the notion of he is a threat to swat your shot into the third row if you do it wrong. You know, like that's – so I would say no, but I could be convinced.
Okay. Rohan?
I'm going to go with no on this one. It's difficult. It's difficult. I think DeLon Wright would be great on this team, like I just talked about. It's so tough because, like you mentioned, it's just going to imbalance the roster to an insane amount unless there's another move already lined up on the buyout market. That's the only way that would be sort of defensible. If you do that and then start looking at your options, that's impossible. Like, you can't do that. You cannot do that. But if you have like someone on a buyout who's willing to sign up to your team and you think would, you know, be a suitable replacement for Brook Lopez, then sure, why not? Go for it. Make the upgrade. I think that would be a good move. But if you don't have anything else lined up, you can't do it.
I agree that it's a conditional yes for me too. And whether it's a trade, I think a trade is probably more likely here than a buyout, unless like Andre Drummond stuns the world and picks Milwaukee. And I'm not even an Andre Drummond guy, but like if you can get Andre Drummond for a vet min, I think you just go ahead and get Andre Drummond and figure it out later. But yeah, I think, I mean, Brook Lopez in 2 seconds for DeLon Wright in a vacuum, I think I really like it. It gets you off the Brook Lopez contract. You get DeLon Wright in the door, which I think he's going to be productive and useful for longer. But there's no way I, as high as I am on Bobby Portis and Diakite, I don't want the two centers on the roster to be Bobby Portis and Diakite. So even if it's a trade for a different, like a stretch four and not just a one. And I really think like, I think I like the initial trade here for Wright because I don't really want DJ Augustine and DeLon Wright on the roster with all these like Bryn Forbes and even like Pat and all these and Dante, all those like so many similarly sized players that I don't want to play more than one or maybe two of them together at once. I guess Dante and any of those guys is fine. But I feel like any two of DeLon Wright, TJ Augustine, and Bryn Forbes, I'm not a fan of. So at that point, the roster just gets funky. I think TJ Augustine going out for DeLon Wright makes way more sense. I would do the trade if you had another move lined up that maybe a TJ Augustine trade somewhere else or something to bring in another big man that you can just slot in there for like 18 to 20 minutes a game and just get a solid big man. Like last night, I made fun of Alex Len after he flagrant and fouled Giannis for being picked fifth overall and being like literally the most average NBA center possible. Like he, especially in the modern game, like shoots some threes, but not a great shooter. He's big. He's a pretty good rebounder. Not great. Like he just does everything at replacement level. Someone like that, if you could find a way to bring them in, I think would be perfect. It might be hard to do at this point. I think centers who can do a lot of things, they don't get paid, but they're hard to find at this point in the season. So yeah, I think it's tough. You'd have to have another move lined up, but I like the original trade a lot, and I would do that.
Can I say real quick that that should have been a flagrant two based on precedent? I mean, you had the same carbon copy play with the same teams. You guys remember the Delly Bradley Beal?
Oh,
like 4 years ago, it was the same play, and he got a flagrant two for it.
Oh, what I forgot cut. About
that. That is an amazing callback.
Oh, that's incredible.
Has Giannis
that's
ever?
The first thing I thought, I was like, yeah.
Has Giannis ever had a flagrant two called?
I don't believe so. Enes Kanter?
Did he? Did Enes Kanter get tossed?
I think Kanter got tossed, or that might have been a second technical or something. I don't think it was a flagrant.
We might have to look that one up. I feel like Giannis very rarely gets that. I was honestly surprised they even called it. I feel like he never gets those calls.
Even gets
so at least
reviewed.
I was like, I know. I was like, at least it was a flagrant one, but I don't disagree at all, Eric. I think there's certainly a precedence there for catching the head neck area in like that kind of velocity. I think why not be safe with a play?
Not
like
even
that?
Just putting someone in a chokehold. Like
also that should be discouraged.
I'm going to put it side by side and just like, it was so similar. I was like, oh, instant flagrant too, if we're going to keep things consistent, but knowing officiating, that's never the case.
No. Yeah. You got to tweet that and tag Friends of the Bucks.
I tweeted the video last night, but yeah, I got to tweet it side by side.
Yeah. Yeah. Tweet the side by side. I'm saying like, and tag Friends of the Bucks at NBA official. Say, hey, what do you guys think about this? He's going to get blocked. Oh, that's awesome. Eric, great point. Thanks again for hopping on to talk
Fox with us.
But I think we're about ready to wrap it up here. But a quick plug, since you came and hang out for so long, where are the people finding you and Bucks Lead all over socials and everything?
Yeah, so on Twitter, I run the Bucks Lead account, and I'm also I run the general lead website at theleadsm.com. So we have not just Bucks Lead, but trying to cover all 30 teams, I think, is the goal. At some point, we're getting close. But yeah, Bucks Lead was the first one a couple years ago, started it, and it's been really fun. So yeah, you can find me on Twitter there, and you can be on my personal too at EricTLSM. And yeah, thanks so much for letting me up here, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely, man. This is a fun room. I like the new format, Rohan. I think we nailed it. Hats off to us.
I think this is going to be a great thing. We're going to be doing this every single Sunday, everyone, assuming everything goes according to plan. So this is the inaugural edition of Bucks Talk Radio. I want to thank every single one of you who's here live and everyone who's listening to this later as a podcast. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep here on the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Make sure you check out Eric and Lead, Bucks Lead. Just make sure you check it out. Great content. And once again, thanks for hopping on, Eric. Make sure you leave a rating and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Tell all of your friends and family about the show. Stay safe, everyone, and we will talk to you next time.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE system.